Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everyone, welcome back. This is a fun opportunity here. You have the opportunity of actually getting to hear more from Taylor Welch. She's the founder and CEO of a five multi-eight-figure brands, ranging from online services to real estate to staffing. He's advised and serviced nearly 50,000 individual businesses globally and took his real estate investment company from negative to eight figures in 10 months. The part I like the very most, though, is he's having so much fun right now, going back into some of the things that he didn't want to do, but now he does. And we're going to dive into a lot of that and really help you guys understand how do you actually package your expertise and things. So again, Taylor, welcome. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and we're going to have a blast.
And we always do. So that'll be a lot of fun. So tell me, Taylor, as you take a look, as far as you're on a 30-day sabbatical right now, and you took time to basically jump on this call, tell me kind of what you're doing right now, and what are you enjoying, and where are you going to go next?
Sleeping. But more so, I'm rediscovering. You know, I think that you've seen this, no doubt, probably even more than I have. But people will get into something, they'll begin to build, and then it will work. And it's like they're shocked that it works. And then it's like, well, let's see if we can take it to the next level, the next level, the next level. Before you know it, they are so busy, and they've come so far from where they started that they almost forget what they're passionate about and born to do in the first place. And I think that that's partially what I'm taking the 30 days out to do, is rediscovering, like, okay, when you look back at my life, it's almost like I see myself in 2014 reading a book by John Carlton for the first time. Like, I don't think people understand when I say this, like, I didn't know what copywriting was in 2014. I thought that that's how you protected songs with the government. I was so untaught. And it's like, when you look back, it's like, there's that point in 2014, and then all of a sudden it's 2021, hundreds of thousands of customers, thousands of leads a day, hundreds of customers a day. And I'm CEO, and I'm like really leading at the front. And I'm taking a step back right now to really rediscover, am I doing the things that I'm uniquely skilled and gifted and passionate at doing? And what does it look like? Because things have come a long way from 2014. I think it's really important, if you study, you know, Wickman and some of the different philosophers of business management, I'm rediscovering what I'm supposed to do. I hope that makes sense. Hope it's not too much detail, but that's what I'm doing these days.
Now, I love the idea as far as rediscovering what you really should be doing. And I think that's the part that we get so busy at, especially as an entrepreneur. Man, as an entrepreneur, we have so many things going on. We're doing this, we're doing that, and you're juggling all these things. And then after time, you start scaling and growing and building your entrepreneurship business. And all of a sudden you find yourself like what you were just talking about. You're going, wait a second, I'm an entrepreneur. I didn't want to go down this road here. How do I get back to where I really want to do? Tell people right now, how do you get through that kind of stuff?
Yeah. See, I was processing this just a couple of days ago. I was walking outside without a phone, which is one of the best like tactics actually. That I've found lately, because we're so connected, you know, like we're so connected, notifications and everything that kind of tends to creep up and kind of overwhelm our minds. But I was thinking about this, like the default natural state for a human being without manufactured drag or obligation, or, you know, there's a difference between resistance and drag. Resistance is that thing you push through because it's a worthy vision. It's something that I'm meant to do. I want to do. I'm called to do it. Whereas drag is almost just a suppressant. It kind of is an energy and an obligation at times. And I think sometimes we have to be careful as humans, but especially as entrepreneurs, that we're operating from a place of vision, not from a place of obligation. You look around your life, where are the areas where you've slowly become kind of committed to the obligations of business rather than the vision of your business? And what I've kind of discovered is that the things that I'm obligated to do, but not passionate to do, there's somebody else in the world who's passionate about it. And not only am I not passionate about it, not only am I not probably that good about it, but I'm actually removing an opportunity from somebody else who is passionate about it, better at it, and should really be in that seat. And I think it comes down to time. I think it comes down to, do you have the ability to sit alone in a room or walk through the woods by yourself? It sounds like I'm being crazy, but I'm just saying, like, do you have the ability to disconnect and let your brain settle and really think about what's the ideal outcome? Don't spend any time trying to reverse engineer problems. What's the ideal outcome? What's the target? What's the vision? And then from that place, we have a lot more torque and a lot more power to push through resistance. Does that make sense?
I love that. I think it too often so many people get, you just get busy and you're just filling time and you're making things happen. And you're like, yeah, I'm getting this done. But you're not enjoying it. And I think that's the thing is, as an entrepreneur, once you start having the success, you start going, wait a second here, why am I going down this path? I take a look at what we've done with ClickFunnels over the years and how at different places we brought on other people just to allow others to do what they really, really love. And as I take a look at, you know, both Russell and Todd are just amazing entrepreneurs, done a great job. And yet the thing they've enjoyed the most is by bringing other people in to allow them to then go and do those things, which they're very, very passionate about. And that passionate is what actually is helping us scale and grow and build ClickFunnels to that next level, is because we've allowed, you get people out of the leadership roles that they don't want to do anyways, let them do what they're extremely passionate about, what they enjoy the most, and where their vision is. And that's really where companies grow and they scale. And that's how you can get things at a much faster pace than going down the other way you were talking about.
100%. I agree with that 100%.
So you take a look as far as where you're at right now, where are you going next?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. That's the that's the reason for the season, so to speak. I am really excited, actually, about the as funny as this seems, and as to some people as maybe unfortunate as this seems, like, I'm excited about where we're headed economically. I think that there's been a lot of, the worst place to be is knowing as an investor that you know, things are probably due for a correction, but not knowing when, and just kind of kicking the can down the road over and over and over. So I'm in real estate as well as consulting and online marketing. And so one of the things I'm just like super fired up about is like the opportunity of a lifetime comes during moments when people need hope and support and vision. And so we're in a season economically, politically, like all of the above, where if you look around, it's kind of like everybody feels really uncomfortable. And for people like me, I'm like super, super passionate and excited because when there are difficult times, you have an opportunity to not only help a lot of people, but really build out infrastructure for the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The real estate world, we're doing a lot of building and a lot of new development. On the consulting side, you know, I'm redesigning some of the consulting material and the consulting infrastructure that we have. But more than anything, I'm just having fun creating. I'm a producer. I'm a creator. And I've been on sabbatical for 2 weeks, and I did this exercise. Do you want me to share it with you? Because it's like both terrifying and enlightening at the same time.
Please do.
So, okay. It's really called a time audit. I did this exercise, and I looked back over the last 4 or 6 months in that range. And one of the things I've noticed about my happiest self, my happiest life, and everybody should do this. There's a part of the Richard Koch book, 80-20 Principle, where he talks about happiness islands. He's like, people don't understand that they're likely the most happy inside of that 10 to 20% period of their life. And the time, if you could just spend more time in those areas, you would be happier. But they don't have clarity. They don't identify where they're the most happy. And so for me, it's writing and it's coaching clients and it's speaking at events and, you know, being in front of people. It's producing, it's creating. And I look back and I did a time audit, and, you know, one of the things that I used to really adhere to is 50% of my time or more had to be spent in that creator mode, that producer mode. In the last 6 months, it's, you know, it's less than 10% of my time has been spent on production. Well, when you do that as an entrepreneur, you're like, what am I doing? You know, the first feeling is like anger and frustration and failure. And I was like, why is this happening? But then the second is clarity and certainty and confidence, because
Now we've summed up the entirety of why I'm stressed, the entirety of why I'm unhappy, it really into one leverage point, which is control your time and make sure you're spending a good portion of your time doing things that make you excited and happy. And so I really think the next 7 years for me is going to be defined by the amount of material that I can produce that is what the world is asking for and what the world needs help with, and teaching clientele how to package up their expertise, how to deliver their expertise, the solutions to the market. You know, as long as there are people in the world with problems, entrepreneurs have job security and income security. And so it's almost like when the world gets harder, it almost becomes more secure for an entrepreneur, because the more problems, the more opportunities you have, the more demand you're going to have, especially in the ClickFunnels space and the community, where it's like you're literally creating increase for businesses all over the world. The best marketing for you, period, is an economic downturn ever.
Yeah.
Right? If you just got to learn how to be comfortable in that and really keep control of your perspective, it's amazing what happens.
It's so funny you mentioned that. You know, obviously we've got ClickFunnels 2.0 coming out this coming fall. We're super excited about it. And people are worried and nervous. And what about this and that? And we'll go back 8 years when we started this. And we were just coming out of another crazy economic trial. And that's really what helped us grow. And I think what we're going to see right now as we look at the fall is a lot of stuff you're alluding to. And that is, as an entrepreneur, the more that you actually can provide, the more things that you can get out to other people is how you actually grow and scale and build your business. But also it really gives you the value that you wanted in being able to get more people impacted. And I think it's fascinating for me to see the growth in software, as well as in coaching, as well as in other products and services that we have, is because it actually helps people when they're going through a hard time. I remember the whole, even when we went through the COVID thing, same type of thing, a massive boost because of people. Now they're home dealing with this trial. And I think as an entrepreneur, as you take a look at helping more people during their trials, that's where you actually grow the most. But also I think not just from monetary standpoint, I think from the value that you're actually giving out to the marketplace, you feel so much more satisfied and more grateful for the job, for the entrepreneurship that you have, because it really is having that kind of an impact.
100%. And then the amount of gratitude you have on the other side of all of that is just the icing on the cake. It's just, it makes it even better, you know?
Totally agree. Well, tell me what you think about this whole idea as far as, you know, packaging your expertise. What do you consider?
Well, I think, there's a whole lot of people who are brilliant, and they've gone through periods or problems or areas of struggle in their life. And sometimes when I look at the scene and when I look kind of scope out where people are, I think sometimes people are looking for that, like, you know, I'm not talented like Dave or Taylor. I'm not talented like Russell, or I don't have this or that. But what they fail to realize is that they've been through problems and they've come out the other side. They're still here. They made it. How did they do it? Could they have prevented it? You know, I hired a coach in January, a mindset coach, and I found her on Twitter, and she is brilliant, and she serves a lot of hedge funds and different people up in New York. And one of the things that we really discovered was I have not lost in a really long time. Like, everything that I've set my hand to has, you know, been blessed or whatever you want to call it. And it's like, you know, there was a fear with me that, like, I'm afraid of losing because I haven't lost recently. And I think about that with, like, people in the marketplace today. It was like, the best place you can possibly be is right on the other side of loss, where you not only know that you survived and beat it, but you know the lessons intricately that could have prevented it. And so when I think of packaging expertise, you know, we all know the psychology of it. You know, people, they're only doing one of two things. They're wanting to get stuff or run away from stuff. That's it. You know, like, it's really simple. Like, I want this or I want to avoid this. It's pain, pleasure. That's the only two real paradigms that we sit in the middle of. And when I think about the enormous opportunity today, I think of how many people there are in the world that have successfully navigated through difficult situations, and now they're equipped with the lessons to be able to help other people navigate through the same thing or avoid that said thing. And really what it comes down to is, do you have the confidence in yourself to be able to go and teach that and provide that to the rest of the world? I think people are so obsessed with, you know, here's the framework for creating this product or going through this, and all of those are well and good. But if you don't have the confidence in yourself to be able to implement it, then you're really going to hold yourself back. You're going to not even try. If you don't think it's possible, you won't even try. And so the consulting stuff that I've been packaging up and helping people build consultative offers is very simple. And it comes down to those two areas. Are you trying to help somebody get something in their life? Or are you trying to help somebody avoid something that they want to get rid of in their life? And then when you take that down and you pick one of them, it becomes a process of making it as simple and quick and seamless as possible. And what you see in the market today is sometimes people are thinking that the more they do and the more they offer, the more expensive and valuable it is. But let me ask you this. Would you rather go through 200 hours of content for some XYZ result? Or if you could go through 20 minutes of content for the exact same outcome, which would you pick?
The 20 minutes.
It's human nature. We want to condense the amount of time from point A to point B. And, you know, it really what it comes down to is, can you organize your material? Can you simplify your material? And we can go as deep into this as you want. Like, I'm really like just losing my mind about some of the cool ways that the technologies that you can use now to make things interactive and speed things up. But it's all about the fastest path from point A to point B, and then organizing it in a way that someone can wrap their mind around it with one sitting, one conversation, not layering it up with all of these crazy different features inside of a consulting offer, but really just the main meat and potatoes. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm fascinated by this whole concept of the speed. I think that's one of the things I look at even from a marketing standpoint. You typically go through marketing much faster, but at the same time you're doing that, you're also spending a whole bunch of time from a frequency getting back to people all the time. I think as I take a look at, you know, people who are trying to, so just get real personal. So for myself, I've been going through this crazy trial, brain surgery, all that kind of stuff where, you know, most people pass away in the first 11 to 18 months. That was not an option for me. I just refused to do it. And it's interesting as you take a look at what people are going through, because I remember being involved in, going to the doctor it was a daily basis and chemo and radiation, all that kind of stuff. And what was fascinating to me was to see what you focus on is what you really feel. And what you focus on is what actually ends up happening. Where I stopped even going into the doctor's office until they called me, because everyone who was there, they were just talking about, okay, I'm not going to live to the end of this year. So what do I need to do? And I think of that as you're talking about this whole concept of where you're at and where you're trying to go. It's what you focus on is really what matters the most.
Yep. 100%, because that begins to grow and it begins to take up new space. And there's an energy to it. There's also a faith to it. And there's also the subconscious element to it. And, you know, one of the things that I feel like I've really learned the hard way, if you will, is an obsession with solving problems is only good. There's only utility in it if there's a vision behind the problem.
Oh yeah.
And so many, like, people will get stuck and just like, well, I'm solving problems. It's like, well, but there's no utility in that if you're not going through the problem into a better vision. And that's where people get stuck and they begin attracting more problems.
I love that idea as far as the vision behind the problem. Otherwise, if you focus just on the problem, you're going to continue getting more of it. If you focus on the vision behind it, that's where you get the success. And I take a look at, again, all the different business, you know, what I think you said, 5 different 8-figure businesses that you've been involved in. Each and every one of those things has, as you go through different problems, that's what allows you to get to that next level. If you focus on the vision versus you focusing on the problem, nothing happens.
Yeah, 100%. And even in that, there are areas that I feel like I've failed simply because five businesses, six businesses. At one point, there were almost a dozen brands that I was involved with. But one of the things that I'm realizing is, was there a powerful vision on the other side of the numbers? A week and a half ago, I was walking out of my home office here in Nashville, and I have a three-year-old daughter. Her name is Kate, and she's sitting in the living room dressed as Elsa from Frozen, because we're on a Frozen kick. And I'm late to a meeting. I got to go to the offices. I'm flying to Colorado to speak at something. And she's like, "Hey, will you, Daddy, come dance with me?" And my first thing was like, "I can't. I have to go." But I was like, "How many moments am I going to get where my daughter's sitting on the home, like the living room floor, and she wants to dance with me? I can't count on that forever." And in that moment, you make a decision that determines who you're going to be for the rest of your life. And that ripple affected back through. And it's like, you know what? What am I doing? What's the utility of, let's call it 100 businesses or 150 businesses or $1 billion net worth, if there's no clear clarity around why you're doing something? Then building something bigger at a certain point turns into a liability. That's what I love about these entrepreneurs. Just like, man, they can build $1 billion net worth, $1 billion exit liquidities, and really go for the moon. But there's always an underlying reason why. Missional companies survive while transactional companies do not. And I think that that comes back down to, are you solving problems for a mission, or are you just solving problems just to solve them? There's a difference there.
No, I think that whole idea as far as the mission, that's a whole nother podcast, a different time. I think understanding exactly what your mission is and how that ties into your vision. You know, as you take a look at all the stuff that's been going on, Taylor, what are some of the main things you'd be recommending people who are listening to this? If they really wanted to focus, where would you tell them to go? What are the things they need to get to that next level?
Yeah, I think with where we can tackle this from a few different areas. Like, I'll start with marketing, and then I'll kind of trickle through and we can go into other things. From a marketing standpoint, I think everything right now is a vie for attention. And so pick a lane, pick a platform, and become a producer and own the content on that platform. So for me, many years ago, that was Facebook. And I wanted to, I made a goal one time to write a post a day on Facebook and just to become dominant on that platform. And you see today, it's like, make a post and 600 people like it and comments. And it's just like, wow, this is amazing. And then you have people that are way bigger than me that have been just as consistent. It doesn't really matter what the size is. What matters is, can you be consistent on that platform for more than a week, for more than a week and a half? And it's not even for the transaction or the conversion. It's like who you are when you are consistent producing content, it changes. I think it's going to be really important over the next 5, 10, 15 years, because there's so much going on in the world that it's the number one opportunity I see right now to like lock down markets is really just to be a consistent content producer that shows what shows up where people need them. From a investing or a economic standpoint, real estate traditionally does well inside of downturns, but I really think we're seeing a real estate crisis unfolding of short-term rental shortages. Obviously, nobody can predict the future. The prices of real estate are going to correlate down. They're inversely correlated with interest rates. And I think that it's always wise to pay attention to the velocity of money. Right now, there's massive buying opportunities in the crypto markets, massive buying opportunities, even in the your securities and your stocks. You look at Tesla, it's down from 1200 to like, I don't know, 630. These are companies that are never going anywhere. They're never going away. They're just massive buying opportunities. And it's an important realization that you have in a moment like this, that it's not necessarily how you act when things are good. It's the decisions you make when things are scary that determine your upside.
Oh, yeah.
And so people who are like paying attention right now, it's a big opportunity to set your family up long-term. And we can go into leadership, to macro, but those are two things that are top of mind right now for me that I'm kind of focusing in on, is the simplicity of one platform, owning that platform with consistent content. And then from an investment standpoint, taking advantage of the buying opportunities that we're seeing in the market today.
So you take a look right now, as the entrepreneur, which of those two do you find yourself spending more time on?
The crypto? Content versus?
Yeah.
Well, right now I'm in build mode. Like I'm building some new pieces of content. Like I want to get a couple books kind of in the publishing side of like I'm creating. And so I'm spending a lot of time just taking the IP and the materials, because I sort of disappeared from some of this because of being so deep into real estate and so deep into the other brands that I'm having such a fun time just making my own content and posting it. It's like, it's the basics, right? It's like I posted a tweet. I'm like, yes, you know, I did it. I'm consistent. Same with YouTube, like videos and things like that. I'm probably spending more time right now just kind of discovering what the market needs and how I can show up and serve them. But the thing about me that I feel like is a difference maker is I'm truly not transactional. And I think that you can feel that. That's a different tug. It's a different mm-hmm. energy. Like you can sort of tell when someone's like, I'm giving to get something, or I'm doing this to get something. But for me, it's like, I don't need anything. Like I just am enjoying the game and producing and creating content. And I don't know if you saw back in the day, but we used to run this thing called the memos. We had 20,000 people paying us for direct mail letters. And we just like sent out letters. It was just like an experiment. It turned into something massive. And this is like a textbook entrepreneurial thing. It works so well that we just stopped. It's like, how many people do you know that are like that? They're like, this is working so good and I'm going to do something different now. It's like, no, just keep doing what works. And I got so busy that I just kind of stopped it. But that's a prime example of like, you know, I'm starting the consulting memo, which is just like, when you've had 40,000 clients and a couple hundred thousand customers, like I see what works and I'm in all these different industries. And I love sitting down at this desk right here with a cup of coffee and just writing and being friends with my subscribers and like teaching them. There's nothing a transactional about it. It's just the funnest thing in the world. And I think that if you can find that thing, which is probably more of a process, it's not a once and done type of experiment. It's true. Like you just don't have to work anymore. You just, because working is the hobby. Yeah. So
what do you see on that process?
What I see inside of what it's like discovering that.
Yeah.
If you're just starting out, I think that the name of the game is find a mentor or a model or something that you can reverse engineer, and then try it and see if you like it. You know, my first ever client was, I was sitting in Orange Beach, Alabama, reading a book about copywriting. And I don't know if you've ever connected with Todd Brown, but at the time, Todd Brown was coming out with like his one of his first like marketing courses online. And I bought Todd Brown's course and I was like, oh my goodness, like I had no idea that you could write words and get paid for it. Like, no idea. And, my first ever client was just a guy that I posted in a Facebook group and he paid me $400 and he paid me $400 for like 7 landing pages. And ClickFunnels wasn't around, I don't think, at this time, because we were using lead pages. And so I was like, 7 landing pages, a bunch of VSLs, a bunch of emails. I just like the kitchen sink, but I loved it and I enjoyed it. And so I kept doing more of it. And then over the years, like I've tried things that I didn't like as well. You have to have exposure to things to see if you like it. And I can't emphasize this enough. Like if you're living in a place or operating from a place of transactionality or obligation, where it's like, I'm just doing this to get a certain thing, I think it will obscure the senses and it will make it difficult for you to find what that thing is. Which you've got to get your income taken care of first. I can hear people's feedback like, well, I got to pay for my bills, bro. Like, I get it. But once your bills are paid for, you've got to really hone in and try to find out what are you born to do? And then just do a lot of that, you know?
Well, Taylor, if people wanted to find out more about you, where should they go?
Social's great. Taylor Welch on Facebook, Twitter, username is Taylor A. Welch. At Facebook, I'm more like on the consulting side. Twitter, I go into a little bit more of the political side. But then you can also go to consultingmemo.com. We're relaunching that memo at the first issue just shipped. It's a lot of fun. It's easy, cheap. It's just how, like, specifically for people who want to put together consulting programs or consulting businesses. That's a lot of fun. But if you do hop on social media or connect with me on Facebook or Twitter, send me a message. The funnest things that I get to do are like interacting with people and talking to people. And I love to connect.
Taylor, I appreciate so much your time. I appreciate where you're at. I hope you enjoy the next couple of weeks, at least your syndication here. And really want you to, most importantly, understand the value we have and appreciate the friendship. Wish you all the best. Again, people, I highly recommend you go, again, take a look, Instagram, Facebook. He already gave you a whole bunch of different places. And most importantly, follow his stuff. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved the last podcast. I think the part I'm most excited is about what's coming up next, and that is Funnel Hacking Live. I am so, so excited for the opportunity of actually being with people live and going through all the crazy opportunities for so many different people who've had such great success. Obviously, we have our Two Comma Club and our Two Comma Club X and our Two Comma Club C. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities that people are showing success. In addition to that, we have 25 plus different speakers who are showing all the crazy things they've gone through to have the success, place where you absolutely want to be. We'll have over 5,000 people who are there, and I think it's just a crazy, crazy opportunity for you to be able to share with people who are at so many different stages within their business, and I think you'll absolutely love it. So go to funnelhackinglive.com and sign up for our upcoming event. Again, it's funnelhackinglive.com. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys soon.